Yeah, are my monitors off or on? We're taking a look at the timing of God. And we're not only wanting to look as to why we should trust the timing of God and God's timing, but how to do it. It's a whole lot easier to know that we should do it than it is to actually do it. And so we want to talk about how we can actually trust the timing of God. Now, last time what we looked at is that we saw that there is a proper time, that God sets into our futures a proper time, and there is a proper procedure to get to the time. We got to go through a procedure, but at the end of that procedure, there is everything that matters in our life. And God has already set that out there for us, and it's out there waiting for us to get to it once we get through the proper time. So I want to read that scripture again and springboard off of it and maybe add another layer to what we saw last time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5, it says there, whoever obeys his commands will come to no harm. Now, that's really, really good. We want a life that doesn't have harm. We want a good life, and that's what he's talking about here. But then there's this conjunction, and it says, and. So we're connecting that thought of not having a life that's harmed, but having a good life, with what he's about to say. And so here's what he says, and the wise heart, and that's so important, and the wise heart will know something. He'll know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every what? Every matter. Everything that matters in your life, everything of importance in your life is set out into your future in a proper time. But you got to go through the proper procedure to get there. But it's in this last section now that I really want to amplify and talk a little bit about today. He says, for there is a proper time and a proper procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. Now, what he's saying here is that a heart of wisdom understands that in life there's going to be misery. That we go through misery in life, even though there is a proper time and there is a proper procedure, there's still misery. And the wise heart knows that to get to the things that matter in our life, we've got to experience some misery, some things we don't want to experience. And it doesn't mean that there's not a proper time out there. It just means we've got to go through the misery to get to it. Now, for example, if you know you need a healing, well, there's some misery you're going to maybe need to go through. Maybe some surgery, some discomfort, some things that are going to get you, though, to the proper time for your healing. Or for that opportunity to come by that's going to raise your life to the next level of living, then there's going to be probably some misery that you're going to have to experience as you step into that opportunity. And the goals that we set, we want to have goals in our lives. And so get to the goals and complete the goals that God has given us to do in life. We're probably going to experience some misery as we complete and go to that goal. The wishes, the dreams that we have in life, there's a proper time for them, but to experience the wisdom and to experience that dream, it's going to require some things you're going to go through that you're not going to want to go through. It's going to cause some misery for that relationship that was broken because of an argument. It's going to cause you some misery to repair that. You're gonna have to go through some stuff that you don't want to really have to go through to do that. For that problem you've been praying about for so long that is an answer to what you're experiencing in life, you're gonna have to probably go through some misery to get the answer for that problem that you're experiencing in life. So there's really not a question of is there a proper time. We see there is. We also see that there is a proper procedure. That's not the question. What the question really is this. Is can you wait with the right attitude, with patience, as we talked about last time, as you go through the misery, keeping your faith as you go through the procedure? Can you keep your faith? Can you keep a right attitude? Can you continue on even though you know that there's misery that you're going to have to go through to get to the thing that matters in your life? See, the wise heart knows this. That on the other side of the misery, there are the things that matter. But you can't get through the things that matter unless you go through the misery. That's the question. And so that's what we really want to discuss and we really want to talk about. Getting through that misery. that we know that's going to happen to us in life. See, what God does in our life is he puts hopes in our heart. He's deposited hopes in your heart. Inside of you there are these hopes, there are these dreams, there are these desires, there are the goals that you want to accomplish. And you probably at some point in time set out accomplishing these hopes and dreams and desires and goals. But something happened. And now you've given up. We all kind of do that. We all struggle through these things. There are things that we want to see accomplished in our lives, but we give up. Things didn't go the way we thought they should go, so we quit. We gave up. Maybe we tried and we failed, and we gave up. Or maybe somebody did us wrong. They hurt us, turned their back on us, betrayed us, whatever. They did us wrong. We gave up. Maybe you got in over your head. Maybe you began the issue, but then you found out that it was over your head and you were incapable of really doing it, so you gave up. You became complacent. You became lazy. You stopped pursuing the dreams and the hopes, and you stopped. You stopped. And here's what I really want us to see today and what I really want us to talk about. See, no matter how long it takes, God is faithful. And if you will continue on, if you will continue on with going through the procedure, if you'll continue on and not give up, but walk in hope, and hope is what I really want to talk about today, and stay in your hope, your time is coming. Your time will come. This is exactly what the Bible says. It says so in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the what? At the proper time. See, God is all into this proper time stuff. You got to trust the timing of God. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. You will get what you desire. You will get what you're after if you don't give up. So there is a proper time. And no matter how long it takes or no matter how impossible it seems like it's going to be, if you won't give up and you stay in faith, you wait in faith, you keep your attitude right while you're going through the procedure and through the miseries that you're going to be going through in life, and you continue on, then you're going to reap your harvest if you don't faint. See, it's all about the attitude. The right attitude is so important in the timing of God. Because we can nail it down in the land of misery. We're going to see this in a little while. And miss what God has for us. Or we can keep going on and experience it. But it's all about the attitude that we have as we're going through life. See, the right attitude is saying, well, I know I've been hoping and praying and wishing and going after this goal for a long time, and I haven't acquired it yet. I haven't experienced it yet. But that's okay, because I know God has a proper time, and I am just going through the proper procedure to get through it, even though I am going through this misery. You know, you go through it. I'm wanting a big house. You know, somebody says, I want a big house. I got this tiny apartment. I got this tiny little house. But I know that my big house is coming. And that's okay. I know God's got it under control. And my time is coming because I'm not going to give up. That's the proper attitude. So the proper attitude is okay, I want to get married. I want to get married. And I've been praying and wishing and hoping and dreaming about this. I've been wanting this for a long time, but the person hasn't come yet. But that's okay, because I know God has the right person for me. He's got it under control. And at the proper time, it's coming. That's the attitude that you really need to have. And you see, it all evolves, and I'm going to show you this right now. It all evolves around hope. Hope is the key to the timing of God. You gotta stay in hope. And I really want us to begin to see this right now. And the first thing that we're gonna learn about this is that we have to wait. While we're waiting, we have to wait in hope. Let's look at Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4. It says this. Delight yourself in the Lord, for he will give you the desires. Is that singular or plural? Plural. Desires. All the desires. He will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart. Now, it's so difficult, though, isn't it, to have a delight in the Lord when you're going through misery and miserable times. It's extremely difficult. This is where the attitude really comes in. We have to stay in the right attitude. If we stay in that right attitude, then we're going to access what matters in our lives. Then, looking at Psalms chapter 33 and verse 20. We wait in or with hope. We wait in hope. Not with it. We've got to get into hope. We wait in hope. Why is that? We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. See, when we're in hope, it activates the shield of God. And no matter what you experience in life, no matter what misery comes your way, what misery you have to deal with in life, if you're hoping, you can deal with anything. It's when you give up hope that you fail. As long as you're hoping, you're moving. As long as you're moving, God's going to protect you. God is your shield. It activates the shield of God in our lives. And no matter what we're going through, we can handle it. Because the shield of God protects us from the miseries of life. We don't stop. What are you hoping in? Not hoping for, necessarily, so much as hoping in. Not hoping with. Are you hoping in the Lord? Is He your shield? In other words, are you more into the Lord than you are into what you're hoping for? We're hoping in the Lord. That's the shield. That keeps us going through the times of misery. That keeps us activating our faith. We're doing what we're supposed to do with the Lord. We're continuing to be faithful to God. We're continuing to give. We're continuing to serve. We're continuing to read our Bibles. We're continuing to pray. We're continuing to do what we know we're supposed to do. And that activates the shield of God. And we're delighting in Him with the right attitude. And then in Psalms 25, in verse 5, it says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God. You are God, my Savior, and my hope is what? Is in you." How long? All day long. 24/7. You're hoping in God all the time. In what do you hope? What are you hoping in all day long? Are you hoping in the Lord? Are you hoping or just hoping for whatever you want to have? So I want us to kind of see this. We've got to get into this. When we're hoping correctly, then there is a shield about us, and that protects us from the miseries of life and keeps us moving onward and upward. But we got to hope all day long. What's your attitude all day long? For example, someone says, "Well, Delbert, I've been hoping for 5 years, and it's not happened." No, see, that's the wrong attitude. You're not in hope there. You're not hoping in the Lord. You're hoping in doubt. You are in doubt. You're not in the Lord. You're not in hope. "Well, Delbert, I've been praying for my husband to come to church and get saved for 10 years, and he's getting worse. He's getting worse. He's never going to come." No, you're not delighting in the Lord. Your attitude's wrong. And what you got to do is you got to get hoping in the Lord. And when you're hoping in the Lord and you're waiting in faith, then it's going to come about, no matter how long it takes. "Yeah, but Delbert, I started my business and it failed because no one supported me." No, see, your attitude's wrong. You're not dependent upon anybody else. You're only dependent upon the Lord. When you hope on the Lord, see, what you don't want to do is get into doubt. You want to be in the Lord in hope. And if we're in the Lord in hope, it's going to happen. Now, I love what David said in the Message Bible. And I like how he says it in the book of Acts. It says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "I'm glad from the inside out." That's what we're saying. "I'm glad from the inside out, ecstatic." Now, David, why? Why are you so glad? Why are you so glad, David? What are you ecstatic about? "Well, I've pitched my tent in the land of hope." See, It's in the land of hope. It's when we're in hope in the Lord that we can have a good life, a happy life, a glad life, that we can get ecstatic about the things and not be concerned with the miseries. But we can keep on going as he's our shield. And as I'm about to show you, he's also the fortress. The hope becomes a fortress for us. But you say, David says, I'm ecstatic about this. You see, we need to live in the land of hope. In the land of hope, this is where it really happens. This is where the goals and the timings of God come about. It's in the land of hope. Hope becomes this amazing key to experiencing what we want to experience in life, not giving up and not losing hope. See, what we need to do is we need to move from the land of I tried and I failed. We need to pull our tent stakes up from there, fold our tent up, move to the land of hope, and put our tent out and drive our stakes down there. We need to move from well, it's over my head and I couldn't do it, I'm incapable, I'm not smart enough to do it. No. What you got to do is you got to get in the Lord, and you got to hope, and you got to move your tent from the land of doubt, from the land of despair, and cast your tent and put your tent and pitch your tent in the land of hope. You got to move from the land of self-pity where somebody did you wrong and stay in there and letting that become where you live and where you stay and missing what really matters in life. And you've got to move to the land of hope. You can't stop there. You got to move. And there's 1,000 reasons to stop in the land of despair, in the land of doubt. You've had 1,000 disappointments, but you can't stop there. You can't let the miseries that you've experienced hold you right there. You've got to hope in the Lord. You've got to wait in hope. You've got to allow the hope to activate the shield of God. You have got to pitch your tent in the land of hope. Don't stay there. And you got to do it all day long. Let me read this verse. I think this is maybe good. We got to be a prisoner of hope. Chapter 9 of Zechariah, verse 12 says this: "Return to your fortress, O prisoner of hope." So you got to be in hope, in the Lord. You wait in hope, and then hope becomes your fortress. And no matter what misery attacks you, no matter what misery comes against you, it won't stop you. "Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce," now watch this part, "I will restore," what? "Twice as much to you." When you get to the land of hope and you get beyond the misery, you get to what matters. And once you get there, the Lord says, he's a promise, "I'll restore to you twice what you had." But stuff happens in life, doesn't it? Miseries come. Things seem to bombard us sometimes and mess up our hopes and mess up our dreams and mess up our goals and mess up the things that we desire to happen in life. Things happen. And we, unknowingly, we really leave the fortress of hope and we move into a land of despair and we find ourselves in the prison of poison. Now, this happened to me a while back. This is several years back. But someone did me wrong. I left the fortress of hope and I went out and I became a prisoner of poison. What I mean by that is I was so full of hate and anger and unforgiveness. I was so full of bitterness that poisoned my life and it poisoned my hopes. And it poisoned my dreams. And it poisoned my aspirations. It poisoned everything. It stopped me. I became complacent. I stopped. I was in misery. You see, but I learned something. I learned that if I can get out of this land of despair, out of the prison of poison, and what I did is I made a conscious decision that I was going to pull my tent stakes up, fold this tent up, and I was going to get back into hope. I was going to get back into the land of hope. And when I did that, everything began to change. But you have to make a conscious decision to do it. It just doesn't happen because there is misery after misery after misery. And you got to have the shield. But once you do that, you'll find that it really does happen. You get back there and you surrender your life back to hope. You surrender your life to the fortress and you become a prisoner of hope. And when this happens in your life, everything will change. I was a prisoner of poison. What about you? What holds you in prison today? What is poisoning your dreams and your hopes, your desires, your aspirations? What's happened? Somebody's hurt you. Somebody did you wrong. You tried, you failed. It was over your head. It didn't go the way you thought and you quit. What happened? What poisoned your dreams and your hopes? I want you to know that if you'll just pick them up and go to the land of hope, it's going to change for you. See, what I really want us to see today is that God has a plan for our lives. It's a great plan. And He has every intention to fulfilling the plan that's already taken root in your heart. He has every intention to seeing that it happens for you if you just won't give up and you can stay in hope. What holds you? See, because when we handle it right, when we handle the miseries of life right, this is what the wise heart knows. When we go through life and we handle the miseries of life right, we can actually thank God and thank the misery that we experienced because it was actually a favor. Isn't that what He said? That's what the verse says, isn't it? He says He will restore how much? Twice as much. And when I went, that's what happened to me. When I was that way and I finally got back into hope, it was just immediate. I mean, I got to really what mattered. I got beyond the misery into really what mattered in my life. And immediately there was a restoration that took place. Immediately. And it was way more than twice as much. But now years and years and years later, I still have twice the joy. I still have twice the peace. I still have twice the victory. I still have twice the fulfillment. But you've got to make that conscious decision. You can't stay in that land of bitterness. You can't stay in that prison of poison. You can't stay in that land where it is of misery. You've got to make a conscious decision. No, I'm going to get back into the land of hope. I'm going to pitch my tent in the land of hope. I'm going to wait in hope. And when you do, things will really change in your life. And actually what seemed so bad brought you a reward of twice as much. You know, I'll go through and doing what I do, of course, I see so many people who allow the situations of life, the miseries of life, to so change them, change their lives and change who they are. And the Bible tells us about somebody who was this way. And it's a woman named Naomi. Now, she's in the book of Ruth. She was Ruth's mother-in-law. But Naomi means pleasant. That's what her name means, pleasant. So when people would meet Naomi, what they would say is, "Hello, pleasant. How are you today, pleasant?" And of course, pleasant would speak back. When they would repeat what Naomi would say, they would say, "Have you heard what pleasant said?" And they would repeat something pleasant. And so she was pleasant. She was a pleasant person. Pleasant. That's who she was. Well, things began to change. She was married to a man and had two sons. And a famine came into the land. And she lived in Bethlehem. So the man, attempting to take care of his family, moved them to Moab. It was a foreign country. And moved the whole family to Moab to survive. They went to Moab. And now, moving a woman is already a kind of a traumatic situation. You move them away from their nest, from their family, from their friends, from all the things that are familiar. It becomes a traumatic experience in and of itself. But when what happens to people, like what happened to Naomi, it really does become tragic. Her husband died. Not only was she now in a strange place, in a strange land, sort of uprooted, but now her husband has died. She had two sons, and her two sons had married Moabite women, and they were taking care of Naomi. But then 10 years later or so, both of her sons died. Now, she had these two daughter-in-laws who were widows, And in that society, women who were widows didn't survive well. It was extremely tough and rough on them. So Naomi decided that she was going to move back to Bethlehem. But during this time, in the land of misery, she became so bitter. She no longer waited in the Lord. In fact, she became so bitter towards the Lord. And I'm going to read you a verse that shows us that. She became angry with God, bitter at life. She no longer lived and waited. She no longer thought about the Lord and put her hope in the Lord 24/7 all day long. She thought about her misery. She thought about the things that had gone bad and how bad life had been to her. She no longer lived in the land of hope. She lived in the land of poison. She wasn't in the prison of hope anymore. She was in the prison of poison. And she became so bitter. She moved back to Bethlehem. When people saw her, they said, "Hello, Naomi. Hello, Pleasant." And here's what she said back to them. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 20. "Don't call me Pleasant. Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara. Because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." That's what Mara means, bitter. "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." And isn't that what we do, or people do that you know, when things don't go wrong for them and they're experiencing some misery, they blame God? No. See, what we've got to learn is that the misery is there. It's just a part of the procedure. That we've got to get beyond the misery, because what really matters in life is behind the misery, is over the misery, is just beyond the misery. "He brought me back empty. Why call me Pleasant? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Now, when people met her, they called her Mara. "Hello, bitter. How are you today, bitter? Hello, bitter. You who the Lord Almighty made life bitter." So many people go through life, and when they hit the miseries of life, they lose hope. And they drive their tent stakes down in the land of misery. And they never get beyond the misery to experience what matters. See, the wise heart knows that beyond the misery is what really matters. And the weapon, the key to get you there is hope. It becomes your shield. It becomes your fortress. It becomes where you live 24/7. And here's the biggest thing that I want to say to you today. The biggest point that I want to make is this. Is don't allow life to change your name. Don't allow the miseries that you experience to change who you are. See, we got to get beyond that. We've got to go beyond that. Yes, I know that some of you have had misfortunes. You have. Life has somewhat been unfair to you. It seems that way, at least. There have been miseries. The child rebelled, and you raised the child the best you could, but the child is rebelling. Maybe you've experienced illness. Why me? Why am I sick? Why am I ill? It's unfair. Maybe you lost a parent. Why my parent? My parent had done nothing wrong. All the wicked and mean people in the world, and my parent dies. And we become bitter. Divorce. Suffered a divorce. Went through the tragedy of a divorce. That's not how you had it planned. That's unfair. You lost your job. Why? Why did I lose my job? Had the death of a loved one. Why? That's not right. It's not how it was supposed to be. Seems those dreams that you have, never going to happen. Now they're dead. Seems that way. My business fell. Why? Why my business? I tried. I give it everything I got. Why'd my business fail? We become bitter. The bottom falls out. Here's what I want you to see. Is that the Lord has this great plan for you. But along the way, you're going to experience misery. But the wise heart knows it's just a part of the procedure. On the other side of the misery is really what matters. Don't allow misery to change your name. Don't allow misery to change who you are. Don't do what Naomi did and allow life to make you bitter. God has an amazing plan for you. See, what we've got to learn how to do and what we really need to be able to do is make a conscious decision and say, you know what? I'm making a conscious decision. I'm picking up my tent stakes right now and I'm moving to the land of hope. I know. I have a wise heart. I know that I'm just in the procedure, that God has a proper time for me. And I'm in the procedure. This is just a part of it. But I'm going to stay in hope. I know that if I can stay in hope and not give up, then I'm going to reap my harvest. I know that if I delight myself in the Lord and keep my right attitude, that He will give me the desires of my heart. They will come to happen. They will come to pass. I know that if I wait in the Lord, that will activate the shield of God. And there's no misery that's going to stop me from getting to what really matters. I'm going to hope in the Lord all day long. I'm not going to give any place to doubt. I don't care what comes along. I am 24/7. I'm hoping in the Lord. I'm pitching my tent in the land of hope. I'm going to drive my stakes down solid there. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a prisoner of hope. I'm going to become a prisoner because that's my fortress. And I know that I can get through this. And just on the other side of my misery is really what matters. This is what Joseph did. You know the story about Joseph. Joseph, of course, as a young boy, had this dream put into his heart by God that he would rule. That got him in trouble. He shared it with his brothers, and his brothers hated him. Brothers threw him in a hole, a pit. And then they sold him to slave traders. They took him to Egypt and sold him to a man named Potiphar. And you know the story. Potiphar's wife lied about him and got him in prison, put him in prison. And he was in prison for a long, long time. I think around 13 years. He was in prison. But he never lost his hope. In that horrible place, in that horrible atmosphere, he kept his hope. He kept waiting in hope. He delighted in the Lord. He kept waiting in hope. Hope was his shield in that horrible place. He waited in the Lord 24/7, all day long. He waited in the Lord. He pitched his tent. As bad as that place was, as dire circumstances as he was in, he found a way to pitch his tent in that misery. See, it's when you pitch a tent in the land of hope that life becomes happy, even in a place like that. He had ecstasy. He had joy in his life. He had gladness in his life. He had a great life, a fun life. Even there, he never lost his hope. He became a prisoner, not of Egypt, not of Potiphar, but a prisoner of hope. And that protected him. And that took him on. While he was in there, he kept doing what he was supposed to do. He maintained his relationship with the Lord. He delighted himself in the Lord. He prayed. He did what he was supposed to do concerning ministering to the Lord. He ministered to people. He served the jailer. He served people. People would come into prison. He would minister to them. They would get out of prison and he would stay. But he never lost his hope. And then one day, his proper time came. He had gone through the misery. He had gone through the procedure, and on the other side of the misery was what mattered, and he ruled in Egypt. And I want you to know this. Don't allow misery to stop you. It's there. The wise heart knows this, but the wise heart also knows that beyond the misery is really what matters in life. You can do it. See, Joseph knew, man, I've been through a lot. That's what you all say. I've been through a lot, but I'm not stopping now. I've been through too much to stop now. I'm going to trust God's timing. What is the difference between Naomi and Joseph? What was different about him? what was really different about them is that Naomi allowed life to change who she was. It allowed life to make her miserable and bitter. Joseph's name means the Lord will add. Life didn't change his name. Life didn't take away what he was going to receive from the Lord. But Pleasant did. Pleasant became bitter. Joseph didn't change his name. He received what the Lord had for him because he got beyond the misery and experienced what really mattered. And that's what we all have got to do. What about you? Some of you have had a rough time. Life has been unfair to you. But what you've got to do is make that conscious decision. You've got to make your mind up. Conscious decision that I am not going to live like this. I am not going to be bitter. I'm not going to be in this poison. This poison is not going to stop my dreams. This poison is not going to stop me. I know that God has a proper time. I have a wise heart. I know that there is a proper time, but I've got to go through the procedure. And if I can go through the procedure and get through the misery, then I know that what really matters is waiting for me. I will reap my harvest if I don't give up. I will delight myself in the Lord. I will keep my attitude right. I will do what I'm expected to do in the Lord. I will be faithful. I will give. I will serve. I will minister. I'm going to have a right attitude. I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to wait in hope. I'm going to be in hope. That activates the shield of God. That's going to help me defeat, go through and fight off and ward off any misery that comes at me. I'm going to be in the Lord 24/7. I am going to hope in the Lord all day long. I'm not going to give any place to doubt. I'm going to pitch my tent in the land of hope. And I'm going to drive the stakes down deep there. That's where I'm going to be glad. That's where I'm going to be ecstatic. That's where I want to live. I'm not going to be a prisoner of poison. I'm going to be a prisoner of hope. I am going to hope in the Lord. I am going to hope. Hope is my fortress. Yes, I have been through a lot. But I've gone too far to stop now. I am going to trust God's timing. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for hope. It is such a key, Lord, to life. And I pray, Lord God, that for those of us here, those of us watching, those of us who will hear this message at any time in the future, Father, I pray that they'll evaluate. They'll see what has poisoned their promises, what has poisoned their goals, what has captured them and taken them out of the fortress of hope. And Lord, put them in a prison of poison. Father, help us to pull our stakes up and move to the land of hope. Hope in you all day long. Wait for you in hope. Hope, Lord God, and if we will, then we will delight ourselves in you. And we will receive the desires that you have put into our hearts. Father, I ask you now to help each and every one of us. And I ask it in Jesus' name.